This week on Experts and Intermediates, the first installment of BJ and I's social experiment, Will We Be Infected? We'll bring you the results of our 24-hour party with four, count them, four movies by infamous film director Michael Bay. We'll tell you what we thought and how our mental faculties and basic motor skills were affected. Plus, all this in preparation of our review of Transformers. Stay with us.
Hey, thanks for joining us at Experts and Intermediates with Jason Eakin. I'm BJ Yaley.
Welcome back, everybody. This is episode 3.
Yes.
Very special episode.
A very special episode. The first installment of Will We Be Infected?
And for those of you who don't know, tell the people what this is.
All right. Jason and I thought it would be amusing if we subjected ourselves to the kind of quote-unquote art that...
Small A.
Small A, very small A, perhaps minuscule, microscopic A. Stuff that millions of people worldwide seem to cherish and enjoy, and yet Jason and I can't quite get a handle on why. So maybe this is an experiment to see if we can really do severe damage to our taste.
And to see if somehow there was just something that we missed the first time.
Yeah.
We are approaching this with both humorously, but hopefully objectively as well. And based on our first experience now, I think we've actually had a major, almost religious revelation in our lives, which we'll share later. That could spawn, if anybody's even listening, some vitriolic.
Yeah. We're going to lose friends after this one, guys.
Okay, so this installment of Will We Be Infected is a longer installment. Usually it's only going to be just a portion of the show, but this week was special.
Very special.
Because in lieu of the movie Transformers, which I think both of us are excited to see, we took four of director Michael Bay's movies, and we decided that we would subject ourselves to them in a 24-hour period.
Yep.
Because Michael Bay also directed Transformers. Now, Michael Bay is probably one of the most, for people who like movies, he is hated.
Oh,
it's not that he's disliked. It's not that people just say, oh, well, I'm not going to see him. He's not my cup of tea.
Right.
We hate him.
I mean, we're not talking Brian De Palma here, where he's got like three defenders in one corner and the rest of the world saying he's not that good.
Right.
I mean, Michael Bay is the film Antichrist.
Yes, exactly.
And we watched four of his epic masterpieces in one weekend.
There's no such thing. I don't know when the last time was Michael Bay movie. When a Michael Bay movie was under 2 hours. I don't think it's ever happened.
Yeah, keep that in mind, folks. I mean, we watched a good 10 or more hours of Michael Bay.
I believe I added it up, and I believe it was just under 12 hours. I believe. No, yeah.
Can we just have a moment of silence for the weekend of my life I spent weeping and moaning in a corner?
Sure.
Okay.
Here it is. We started with The Rock, moved on to Pearl Harbor, which we'd each seen, but it had been so long that we couldn't exactly articulate our hatred for it.
Plus, it's kind of one of those key Michael Bay films.
It is. It seems like the pinnacle. That's the one. I mean, they hated him before.
Sure.
I hated him before.
But Pearl Harbor is the one that got a musical number in Team America. So
it's true.
We had to watch it.
So we did skip over. We skipped over Armageddon.
Another key one, but both of us have seen Armageddon so many times.
We've both seen it so many times, and truth be told, we kind of like it.
Well, speak for yourself, my friend. I saw it five times because all my friends wanted to see it, and I happened to work in a movie theater.
You're telling me that Steve Buscemi and Owen Wilson in that movie don't get props from you?
They get props. Okay. They get props. And the dude who always plays the crazy Russian gets props.
Yeah, Peter Stormare.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I can't believe you know his name.
I've known his name. Since I saw Fargo, he's one of those names that I stored away because I loved him
so
much.
You truly are the expert.
I'm the idiot is more like it. The sad man with too much time. So wrapping up, we watched
Pearl Harbor, then Bad
Boys
Boys 2,
2,
and
and
finally The Island, which neither of us had seen.
yeah.
So we bookended this festival, this the festivities, you could say, with two movies we hadn't seen. Hadn't seen The Rock, hadn't seen The Island.
Yeah.
And so, BJ, what were your expectations going in?
Okay. Well, going in, I had heard from a number of sources, some suspect, some not, that The Rock was a halfway decent movie. I went in with low expectations for all films, simply because it's Michael Bay. I had seen Pearl Harbor and Bad Boys 2 before and declared both of them at the time to be the worst film ever made. But The Island, sci-fi, Ewan McGregor, ScarJo, it had potential.
Yes.
So really, that was what I was looking forward to. I was like, if we can power through the middle section,
I know it.
I think we'll be rewarded, and we'll maybe come out thinking Michael Bay is really not as terrible as he might be.
I'll be honest, I was worried for myself at the start of this marathon because I hadn't seen The Rock. I like Nicolas Cage. And Sean Connery, I can really take or leave, but I was kind of like, oh, it's a, this seems like it could be a fun Sean Connery role. So I expected to like The Rock, to hate Pearl Harbor as much as I always have,
Absolutely.
hate Bad Boys 2 like I always have,
Yep.
and then I anticipated to really like The Island,
Yes.
and then Transformers coming up, which I couldn't wait to see. So
Mm.
I expected, of the five movies, I expected to like three of them.
Right, which is, I
Plus,
mean, it's Michael Bay, so
I
that's
know.
like, that's saying a lot.
Plus, I kind of like Armageddon, and I
Right.
kind of like Bad
I
Boys.
remember you saying that. I remember you saying, here I talk so much smack about Michael Bay, and yet more than half of his films I think are okay.
Right.
Or
It's
you were
a,
thinking you would think were okay before the
exactly.
marathon.
So I'm sitting there. I remember driving to your house to before on the way to start the marathon, and I was like, "What am I gonna do? Have I already been infected? It's entirely possible, but I'm one of the biggest detractors. And anytime he comes up in a conversation, I am the first to just say he's the worst ever and all
Yeah.
that stuff. So I was like, what am I gonna do when
Right.
I only really dislike two of his seven movies?
Right. How can you look yourself in the mirror every morning and say, I like Michael Bay?
But dear listeners, I've got news for you. I hope this doesn't ruin the surprise. But I'll not be waking from slumber tomorrow, to tell my mirror that I like Michael Bay.
I don't even have a mirror anymore. I broke it over my head. Let's get this over with. Bring out the Rock. Bring out the first contestant in the Crimes Against Humanity, the Nuremberg Trials of Michael Bay.
We have titled this section Crimes Against Humanity.
Accurately titled.
We may have undertitled it.
It's possible.
The severity may have been actually
Crimes
too
Against
small.
Existence.
No kidding. Crimes against the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, does not matter. This goes beyond belief
No, whoa.
in so many ways.
I think we actually could have called this section Beyond
Beyond
Belief.
belief.
All right, you've got fancy sheets,
I
and I'm
got
just
fancy
gonna.
sheets.
All right,
I am
I'll
prepared.
respond
Listen,
to
Michael
your
Bay,
bring it. Bring your evidence.
Michael Exhibit A. Michael Bay prompts nothing if not extreme planning and detailed
Right,
analysis.
because obviously, if there's a common thread we noticed in all his movies, it's that that's what he brings as a director. He brings extreme attention to everything, save perhaps the script, which he either doesn't read or it
Or
or.
let's be fair though, or can't read.
Right. It may not be his fault. It's his upbringing.
Exactly.
It's
I don't know.
a lack of an opportunity for an education doesn't make him a bad
I didn't
person.
read the bio, but it seems to me the man is a delinquent. And all right, The Rock. I anticipated The Rock to be a 2.5 to 3 star movie. I did, for pure action alone, for Nicolas Cage and all of that. The Rock ended up as a 1 star movie. I'd give
Oh,
it
yeah.
1 star.
Yes.
This was supposed to be like a kind of an action extravaganza. We begin the movie with Ed Harris looking sinister, and I like Ed Harris.
I like Ed
He
Harris
then
too.
goes to a graveyard where he speechifies to his wife, in what is one of the, I think, two or three times in history that I've gone, Ed Harris.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah, if Ed Harris had walked directly from the gravesite to the set of Milk Money, it could not have been any worse. And usually Ed Harris, you know, man,
he's dependable.
He can salvage a bad speech.
Yes, he can.
Not this one.
Not this one. This one was, again, beyond belief.
Yes.
From the get-go, we're going downhill. We meet Sean Connery, and they act like, oh, you know, we introduce these government officials who don't like him, and we know that there's some history there that's – but it's all handled so – it's all just so clunky.
Oh, yeah.
And all just so boring.
Yeah, it's got no drive, and then we move directly into one of Michael Bay's signature
what
car
will become his signature
sequences.
Through the streets of, I think, San Francisco.
San Francisco.
And Connery steals a Lamborghini, blah, 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 blah. Eventually, they go to The Rock. Finally.
Yeah.
Thank God. They take a bunch of Marines.
Right. And you think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Marines get massacred pretty quickly. In what is, I will say, maybe the one sort of effective scene.
Yes. And you know why it's effective?
Because of Michael Biehn.
Michael Biehn.
That's right. The ever-dependable Michael Biehn.
Guys. If you're going to rent The Rock, be aware that Michael Biehn is the finest actor in this film.
He certainly is. He gives the best performance. There's a great scene between him and Ed Harris where Ed Harris is saying, stand down, and he basically calls his bluff, and all of these Marines get murdered. Now, of course, they make it overwrought, and Ed Harris puts his head in his hands and is like, I said
stop.
Oh,
I'm so tortured. It's not what I wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, and then you were forgetting the gratuitous use of slow-mo.
Oh.
Another Baymo.
Baymo that we have dubbed it.
Oh.
But describe what Sean Connery does to get them into The Rock.
Oh, okay. This is my favorite. There's a locked door, go figure. And
Alcatraz.
So the Marines are like, oh, crap, we can't get into The Rock. Sean Connery, earn your paycheck. So Sean Connery proceeds to sneak through what they claim is what, the furnace?
I don't know.
I don't know. It's something, but it looks like nothing but a level of a video game. It's got flames that shoot at like alternating
angles and intervals.
And Sean Connery's like, oh, I escaped, you know, a bazillion years ago, because he's 92 in this film. And he remembers the exact timing of everything, proceeds to get down on his belly and roll through these flame spurts. The whole thing makes you wonder why Alcatraz needs these flame spurts. I mean,
they can't serve
any purpose except to show a brief 5-second shot of Sean Connery rolling through them.
Right, which is, I don't even think anticlimactic.
It doesn't describe it.
It's befuddling. Is what it is.
The whole thing is dumb.
Almost as confusing as when The Rock turns into the Temple of Doom. And we get, literally, in Alcatraz, a cart chase.
Yeah. Remember how good this scene was in Temple of Doom?
Yeah.
And if you're nodding your head like, yes, it was awesome, you're wrong. It was dumb in Temple of Doom.
I still liked it in Temple of Doom.
Oh, it is. It's completely.
Temple of Doom earns it, though.
Well, at least I understand why there's mine carts. Where did the mine carts come from in The Rock? What are they mining?
I don't know.
Is it something they're taking to the foundry in the flame spurts after they get it mined?
You know, I just don't know.
At least John C. McGinley is there to get his legs caught on fire.
That's right, and he does have the movie's coolest death. This movie begins a sad and disgusting trend,
yes,
which is Michael Bay's action sequences. He shows one character and guns are shooting, and he doesn't really show ever what they're shooting at.
No.
He shows them being shot at by some. It's completely incoherent, and not incoherent in the interesting way.
No.
Incoherent in the poorly planned and even worse executed way.
Yeah, it's just his action sequences are boring. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Michael Bay's version of inventive action sequences involves slow-mo and the patented Bay shot, which he shows off to good effect in nearly every film, although not nearly so much in this movie.
Not really.
Pretty much the only one I can think of is when Nick Cage runs out with the flares, which is in slow-mo and also a Bay shot.
Oh, it's a Baymo Bay shot.
Oh, boy. Well,
in the bay.
Jason has come up with a new rating system for Michael Bay films.
On a scale of 1 to bay, bay being 10,
and terrible.
More, and terrible. How much like the what we think of as Michael Bay?
Yeah.
How Michael Bay was The Rock? And I give it a 6.5. So it's definitely over the halfway mark because of the bad action sequences and stuff like that and the terrible characters. But it's not as bad as most of his other ones. So what would you give it?
It really lacks in – I think not having the Bay shot hurts it in this category.
I know it does.
So
it's,
I'm gonna,
it's a detraction.
I am going to say – I think I'll go with you. I'll go with 6.5. I was actually going to – I was going to go higher, but – the fact is, really, all we have as far as Bay characteristics are a terribly boring car chase.
Yes.
Lame action sequences, bad dialogue. Yes. And slow-mo. Excessive yes. slow-mo.
Time now for Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
Pearl Harbor, I think we can both say,
yes.
is the longest of the Bay movies.
Yes.
It is a 3-hour-plus epic.
Yes.
It spans two discs. On the DVD.
Which if someone could explain to me, I'll give them $1.
I'll give them $2. It encompasses everything that is wrong with Michael Bay. So I thought I was going to hate this one the most, hands down.
This is a movie that I have never walked out of a film in theaters. Pearl Harbor, that was pretty close. Yeah. It's just bad. So yeah, going into Pearl Harbor, Jason and I are obviously, we've just been treated very poorly by The Rock.
That we thought was going to be our friend.
We thought was going to be our friend. And it gave us the cold shoulder. So we were thinking that Pearl Harbor would be more of the same.
More of the same.
And our prospects were grim.
Yeah. And for the first hour, we're pretty much right. We've got some Affleck jawing.
Yeah, oh, the chin.
The chin.
Chin Affleck is in effect in this film. doing nothing but what Ben Affleck does best, which is look stupid. And mutter some manly lines.
That's right. And then we've got Josh Hartnett as his friend. They basically the dialogue between them consists of basically whooping at each other.
Yeah.
They're almost cavemen.
Hey, I'm dumb.
Whoop.
Yeah.
Wooey.
Woo. Did you see that one?
Look at that, Rafe. Yeah, the character's name is Rafe.
Rafe.
And it Rafe. Come on.
He's a good guy.
He has to.
He can't read, but he's a good guy. That's how you know he's a good guy. Because Michael Bay gives him his own personal character
his
flaw.
Own defect of not being able to read. So then we have Kate Beckinsale introduced.
Who's not even in tight leather in this movie, which pretty much defeats the purpose of having Kate Beckinsale
exactly.
in the film.
If you're going to have Beckinsale, go nude or go home.
So I always feel pity for people go into Pearl Harbor and think, hey... this is going to be like, you know, Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah, this is a movie that honors veterans.
Yeah.
An unflinching war tale.
It is. It's a portrait of the hardworking servicemen that protected our freedom. What you're actually getting is a pretty tepid love triangle for 2.5 of the 3 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
And yet.
Oh, no. Here it comes. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourself.
I don't want to tip our hand too much here, but... of the four films we watched, and I still can't believe I'm saying this, Pearl Harbor is the best.
Pearl Harbor is the best, and it's not even close.
Oh, no. No, it's not even. No.
Because I have to say, even though all of this stuff is truly, and the story is trite and predictable.
The dialogue is terrible. I mean, terrible to the point of laughter.
Yeah, and terrible to the point of frustrated laughter almost.
Yes.
But still, it has 10 times... the heart and sincerity of every other Michael Bay movie put together.
Yes, and the actual attack on Pearl Harbor succeeds in many shots being very beautiful.
I know
And impressive and exciting and, in short, everything that Michael Bay is not.
Exactly. Now, the sequence doesn't quite build enough for me.
No,
as per usual.
No, I mean, if this was another director, we'd say that was okay.
We'd say, you know, I think they really could have done better.
Yeah,
I think
sure.
But for Michael Bay,
this is Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah, in every Michael Bay action sequence, and I'll get into it more later, mm-hmm. but he has a way of not undercutting the action by building in exchanges between characters. He ruins the momentum of his own sequences. And he does the same thing here. We get countless, Affleck and Hartnett get into planes, and we get countless yells of, woo-wee, got one, and, oh, got another Jap sucker.
Yeah, oh, Jap sucker, yes. Jap sucker. That line is repeated twice in 3 minutes. And it doesn't add anything. It doesn't build character. It doesn't create tension. There's
it's almost
no laugh
like alerting
lines.
The audience, oh, we didn't get killed. They got killed.
Yeah.
Because our characters are still talking.
Right, and that's usually necessary for Michael Bay because he's such a bad filmmaker that sometimes the audience is confused.
And because, damned if he doesn't know what's going on.
Well,
either.
Yeah, he's so got he's no
like,
idea.
He's like, Affleck, are you still alive? Did you get shot? Well, I didn't read it. Do you get shot here?
He's muddling through the strange druidic runes that comprise his script. It's like, what is this? What are these markings?
Would someone tell me what the fuck Pearl Harbor is? Why are we here?
Oh.
I thought we were going to be on the beach. Oh. Anyway, Michael Bay actually plays with some iconography here.
Yes.
Because I think the best shot of the movie is these kids playing baseball.
Yeah, the baseball kids.
And then slowly we hear this kind of rumbling, and very lowly over the hills come these Japanese planes. And the kids, it's almost like it's like a Rockwell painting.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it is a Bay shot. Because
yes,
the camera's moving behind them, and
yeah,
the
camera's
from the
moving
ground
in,
up,
ground up, and in opposition to
the
focus of
the zeros. So yeah, but that being said,
it's the one Bay shot that is actually effective.
Yeah,
and that I would go on record as saying, I begrudgingly like that shot.
Sure, I don't think I even begrudgingly like it. I'm thankful that he made Pearl Harbor compared to the other three pieces of trash I was forced to watch.
I will say there's an amazing bit of voiceover work by Kate Beckinsale wherein she delivers the following nugget of truth. Before the Dewey Raids, we knew nothing but defeat. After, nothing but victory. After the Dewey Raids, that is, Americans in World War II
and beyond
have known nothing except for victory. There has never been a moment in any war since the Dewey Raid, since the inception and the birth of those glorious raids, that America has misstepped, been misguided, or hell, made a mistake.
Well, and I think for once we can say, Kate Beckinsale, you got it right.
You got it right, babe.
You nailed it.
You weren't naked, and yet somehow you achieved a truth.
Oh, okay.
So, I give Pearl Harbor 1.5 stars. In a 1 to Bay, I give it, it's actually higher than The Rock. I'd give it an 8.5.
You think? Really?
Yeah, there's more Bay shots.
Well, it's longer.
It is longer, so that makes
it throws the
difference.
Balance off. I don't know. I kind of feel like it's more unlike Bay than The Rock. If somebody had told me, hey, here's Pearl Harbor, it's not made by Michael Bay, I'd have watched the film and said,
No, but it's influenced by
him. That's exactly what I would have said. But I still think there's enough that is actually somewhat tolerable and good in the film.
Okay,
that makes it unlike Bay.
You know, okay, maybe I need to add a criterion.
Okay.
Whichever. to the list, which is that a Michael Bay movie traditionally has no heart whatsoever.
Yes, exactly.
And the sheer existence of heart in this movie, I'll take it down to about, there is a lot of heart. It's overwrought, but it's bleeding,
pulsating heart.
So I'll give it I'll go 5 to 6.
All right.
I can't go lower than that.
That's fine. I accept your analysis. Don't skip over Bad Boys 2.
I almost turned the page.
Oh, this will be brief but accurate.
Okay, I think the movie's terrible. The movie is terrible times terrible times terrible.
One to Bay.
This is BJ called it an Uber Bay.
Uber Bay.
This is a bad Bay at the office.
This movie kept my will to live at bay.
Okay, so we've got Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. It's very difficult to talk about these characters because there are no characters. Right. They're completely... It's like, throw out the first movie. They don't exist. They're nothing alike. There was at least some attempt at story in the first
the
one.
The first one I actually thought was kind of like a good, cheap time, you know?
Right. This one made me feel cheap.
Yes. Yes. They're nothing but a collection of wisecracks.
That aren't funny.
Stacked... head to head on top of each other with some awesome racial stereotyping.
Oh, including the leads are stereotyping themselves.
I know. See, this is another Michael Bay thing that we haven't talked about yet, but from The Rock on forward, Michael Bay loves his stereotypes because he doesn't know any other way to create character.
Exactly. He's like, I saw one on TV once, and it was like this.
It looked like this. That's exactly what it looks like. It looks like he took characters from bad 80s sitcoms.
Yeah.
And just said, no, they're still applicable. They're stock characters.
Yeah. Women get terrible treatment.
Terrible treatment.
Although not so much in Pearl Harbor, but most of the time, especially if it's an ethnic woman.
Then
look out.
Oh,
I mean,
Bad Boys 2.
You know, gay characters pretty much are...
Completely, offensively stereotypical.
Exactly. It is offensive to the point of being, I would say, as a viewer, oppressive.
Yes, completely.
Like, it makes you feel bad, very bad, watching these movies.
Needless to say, Bad Boys 2,
is the worst of the worst.
It's the worst of the worst. And we watched The Rock, and then we went straight into Pearl Harbor. And Pearl Harbor, you know, kind of buoyed us. So we were like, let's push through and do Bad Boys 2 tonight.
Yeah, we were planning to split them up 2 and 2. So we decided, hell with that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
If Pearl Harbor's this two, how bad, how much could Bad Boys 2
suck? Yeah, we remembered Pearl Harbor being terrible. We remembered Bad Boys 2 being terrible. We were almost kind of wrong about Pearl Harbor.
Oh, yeah. Usually during all these movies, we are making jokes to each other and at least having a moderately good time.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed myself while I was being punished. I mean, But Bad Boys 2 was a nearly completely silent movie-going experience.
It was the sort of thing where we sure tried to make jokes.
Yeah.
We tried our best. We weren't laughing to the point where we were just groaning. I think after the movie, I stood up and we both just kind of sighed. And we had been taking pictures after each movie that night, and I forgot to take pictures.
Yeah, it's probably better. I was almost angry after watching Bad Boys 2. I was that bitter.
It is a movie, I don't know how else to put this, but I physically felt ill.
Yeah.
Like, I literally felt unwell, and like I was going to be sick after sitting through 2.5 hours of Bad Boys 2. And so I didn't really say anything to you. I was just like, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, and knowing full well that we had one more to get through.
Yeah.
And I remember wondering how we were going to do it.
Yeah. But I do want to talk about the action sequences in Bad Boys 2 are so stupid. There are multiple car chases. And
none of which are exciting.
None of which are exciting, and all of which involve our two leads going, oh man,
yeah,
ad nauseum.
Yes.
And it's never interesting. Never have action sequences with this much going on been so unappealing.
Right. You know, if you hear the concept of one of the key Bad Boys 2, like the big set piece action sequence where they're throwing cars at them from the car transport, you know, if you hear that idea, you're thinking on paper, that's got to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that in a film. Yeah. Hey, awesome.
You can't mess it up too bad.
You're right. Right. It's cars being thrown at other cars.
Exactly.
What's bad about that?
Exactly. But boy, would you be wrong.
You would be
sorely mistaken.
You'd be...
So let's move on to the island. We started fresh the next day.
We did.
With the island. We were dejected. Let's not mince words.
No. No mincing here.
But I had heard that the island was good. Ebert gave it 3 stars. And I had wanted to see it. I like Scarlett Johansson. I like Ewan McGregor. He usually doesn't, you know, just throw himself into things.
Sure. I'm a sci-fi fan. I mean, so I watch a lot of crappy movies, being a sci-fi fan.
Yes, you do.
I dodged The Island when it was in theaters. But, you know, I thought, hey, this was a good excuse to check it out. I was mildly curious.
Yeah. So the movie starts, and we were confused.
Right.
We were confused because the first 40 minutes of this movie do not contain A, A Michael Bay shot. B, an action sequence.
Yeah. I thought we'd put in the wrong movie.
It was like character development. There were some interesting scenes between Ewan McGregor and Sean Bean. Basically, the setup of the movie is all these people live in this basically compound because the outside world is now unfit to live. And there's lotteries every so often. And one person from this place gets to go to the island,
The last refuge.
The last refuge for the human race.
It's a knockoff of Brave New World and a thousand other better science fiction vehicles. But, you know, that's kind of sci-fi's bag.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily... It's not a knock against it that it's taking familiar themes and working with them.
No.
And the fact that, like Jason said... No, none of Bay's trademarks are here. The dialogue isn't even that bad.
No,
there's
the
actually some kind
is
of interesting ideas being developed.
Ewan McGregor is questioning all these things. He's wondering, he's having these strange dreams, and he's wondering why certain things have to be the way they are. Mm-hmm. He's asking, he opens up his drawers and finds all this white clothing, and, and so he asks, he goes, How do the clothes get back in my drawers?
Right.
And can I have a different color?
Right. I mean, it, everyone dresses the same. Everything about their existence is monitored. Ewan McGregor takes a piss, and they say he's got too much salt in the system, so he's eating tofu that week, and he wants bacon.
So then Ewan McGregor finds out that basically something's wrong, and he needs to get out, and he takes Scarlett Johansson. And now the chase begins. Oh, because he sees one guy who they said was going to go to the island. They saw him being operated on, and they killed him.
Yeah.
So now he knows this place is bad. They get out. They break out into the real world, find Steve Buscemi, and say, you know, what's going on? He tells them, of course, they're grown. They are clones of other people, basically grown for spare parts.
Yeah. And, you know, it's my theory that Michael Bay arrived to the shooting of the island about a week late. And so
I'd say probably 2 weeks.
Two weeks late, and he got there, and he's like, oh, are they off the island? You directed all that?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, okay, I got it from here.
Yeah, and they said, Mr. Bay, the idea is that there is no island. And he goes, yes, I know that there's no island anymore.
Oh, yeah, no, I read it.
Because you've shot that.
I read it in quotes. Yeah, I know.
I had my mother tell it to me.
Yeah,
I
know. I got the story. There's like a hover bike thing later. I got that. No problem.
We're gonna fix that in post.
Oh yeah. Oh, I hear Ewan McGregor has a scene with himself.
That's right, because Ewan McGregor meets himself, and that's pretty funny actually. It's,
yeah, you know, I got this hot chick in here. Who's got my coffee? I'm Michael Bay.
I'm Michael. Hey, when do we shoot the action?
Oh.
And they're like, Mr. Bay, because you've put in so much action, that's all we have left. That and Mr. Diamond Hunsu has arrived at the set, and he's ready for his close-up.
Yes, this man had in his contract that he had to have at least 17 Bay shots.
Well, I think what happened was Michael Bay probably just shot the same shot about 35 times from different angles and in different locations. And in the editing room, Bay, ever the indecisive one, decided, you know what? This once, I'm gonna forget what the critics are gonna think. I'm gonna blaze my own trail.
That's right.
And he put in, we counted, starting over an hour into the movie, 17 shots of Diamond Hunsu.
That are basically the same shot.
The slow-mo, camera rising, him stepping out somewhere and looking off into the distance.
Kind of turning, looking forlorn, kind of tough. Hard to get to.
Hard to read.
You know.
Which again, fits the Michael Bay aesthetic.
Yeah, because...
Hard to read
is right.
Impossible to read.
Oh.
So from there, tell what happens.
Man, it just goes downhill fast. There's nothing needs to be said about it. It ends up being a complete waste of everyone's time, including the audience.
Yeah.
The only high points being the first 40 minutes, which actually is also a low point because it makes you hate the rest of the movie even more.
Yeah.
And
the rest of the movie is so bad that it more than makes up for
it. Oh, it more than makes up. It works hard. It works real hard to scrub away the positive memories you have. Fortunately, if you're a guy and interested in this kind of thing, you can stare at Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, my Lord.
And that's,
she is.
That's pretty distracting.
It is. And there's a sex scene in the movie.
Which, if I remember, is kind of lame.
It was kind of lame, but The idea of Scarlett Johansson in the sex scene.
The idea. I think I spent 15 minutes not watching the movie and thinking,
thinking about that.
How
idea.
Could I have improved this film? Ewan McGregor is.
I can think of two ways.
Sure.
That was a lame joke.
No, it was great.
I
loved
I'll take it.
It was
I'll
perfect.
Take it.
All right, let's rate this puffer.
Okay, star rating 1.5.
Absolutely.
Because of the first 40 minutes. On a scale of 1 to Bay, I give it an 8.
Oh, yeah.
And it started out at a 3.
Oh, yeah. It started out like I was confused.
Yeah.
And then at the end,
we
I was...
We felt like we were in this compound.
Oh, man.
Did a clone of Michael Bay make this... Maybe a clone of Michael Bay made the first 40 minutes. And then Michael Bay, like, needed a limb or something like that. So they killed the clone.
He needed a liver because he drank himself to death.
While watching the rest of his movies.
I wish
the rest of the Bay canon.
I wish I had sent my clone to spend the weekend with Jason watching Michael Bay films. I'm not even going to lie. It's one of the worst weekends of my life. I certainly enjoyed myself. It's always good fun watching movies with Jason. I just wish we had more positive things to say.
Yeah. So started out thinking half the movies were going to be good. Ended up 0 out of 4.
I'm going to say a half because Pearl Harbor surprised me so much.
So 0.5 out of 4.
Which is pretty good odds.
when dealing with Michael Bay, it's pretty good odds. That wraps up our comments on the first four of the movies. We are going to take a much-needed break, heavens to Betsy, and then we'll be right back to tell you what we thought of Transformers and also hand out what we are calling the Bay Awards, the Armageddons.
The Armageddons.
We're going to hand out some Armageddons.
And we're going to ask ourselves the ever-important question.
Were we infected?
Stay tuned.
Soldiering on here at Experts and Intermediates. It's BJ Gailey. I'm Jason Eakin. We move now past the point of no return.
Yes. Out with the old, in with the new.
That's right. It's time for the new Michael Bay movie, Transformers.
It's a brand new Bay.
It's a new Bay has risen. this is a new Bay, though, because in the past, Michael Bay has worked closely with producer Jerry Bruckheimer, who... We're quite a ways into this podcast, and we have not mentioned Jerry Bruckheimer.
I think he's the elephant in the room when you're dealing with Michael Bay.
You're right, and I think he gets even a worse rap because he's made such clunkers as like Remember the Titans and Gone in 60 Seconds. You just think of dumb people munching popcorn. That's the image that comes to my mind. So, but he is gone.
Yes.
The new executive producer is Steven Spielberg, who I love. And if anyone can make Bay into a new man, it's Steven Spielberg. I ask you, Mr. Gailey.
Yes.
What did you think of Transformers?
Well, I'll tell you. I went into Transformers with pretty low expectations. The Bay-a-thon had pretty much crushed all hope in me that Transformers could be cool. I saw Transformers in Baltimore with a good friend of mine, Pat. And Pat, about 15 minutes into the film, sat back in his chair, crossed his arms, and said, "Fuck this movie." And that was it for Pat. And to be honest, I think I was not far behind. I wish I could say I didn't see the Bayisms we've been talking about, but they were ever present. I felt like every time I turned around, there was a Bay shot. The Baymo was in full effect. There was even some pretty nice stereotyping, although maybe to a lesser extent.
To a lesser extent. Well, not Bernie Mac.
No, but at least Bernie Mac was funny.
Was he?
I think so. And Bernie Mac wisely ditches from the movie after the first 15 minutes.
He's a two-seener in this one.
He is a two-seener, and he's a wiser man for it. He's off he's off filming Ocean's 18 right now and laughing that he didn't have to suffer through the rest of Transformers like I did.
Which he hasn't even seen.
No, probably. And I don't blame him. I can't even say I was disappointed. I just wasn't surprised by Transformers. I felt like every scene I watched had the same stilted, cheesy dialogue that Bay films have had since the beginning of time. I feel like the action sequences, which, if ever there was a no-brainer film to have awesome action sequences, yeah. It's Transformers. It's, for those of you who don't know the concept, it's vehicles that transform into giant robots.
Giant ass-kicking robots.
And then they fight. I mean, what's the problem, Bay? It's like Bay never had a toy growing up. I think that's it. I think we can also blame his upbringing for this one. Can't read, never had a toy. So he has no idea how to make these things interesting. The robots themselves have completely stereotypical personalities. Let's mention briefly the robot named Jazz, who, when he transforms, A, does a breakdancing move, says, "What up, bitches? This looks like a good place to chill." Needless to say, he's the first robot killed. In true sci-fi tradition. I don't know
was
what else.
Was he a black car?
Oh, yeah.
Was his car black? Yeah.
Here's the deal, guys. I thought this movie sucked. I don't think there's any... I can't mince words. I hated this movie.
Wow.
With one or two exceptions. Shia LaBeouf, who I actually have liked in, I think, everything I've seen him in, comes off pretty okay in this film. He has some terrible dialogue to work with, and he certainly has some groan-worthy moments with it. But on the other hand, he still seems to be fairly likable. And he does do some things that you and I talked briefly about this. I'm sure Bay was just looking the other way. And Shia LaBeouf was like, "I'm going to do this." Okay? Everyone okay with that? Okay, good.
Spielberg, roll.
Do it. Bay wants coffee. So he comes off okay. Bernie Mac is funny for the 2 minutes he's in the movie. And, I mean, the savior of the movie.
The Jesus Christ.
Of Transformers, John Turturro.
Oh, man.
I can't say enough about John Turturro's performance in this film. If it were up to me, I would give him 20 Academy Awards for it. It was literally the only thing that kept me from leaving the movie or falling asleep. However, that being said, there's only one, in my opinion, halfway decent action sequence, and it's the shortest in the film. It's the fight between Prime and the construction vehicle where he sticks his giant sword, which we never see after that scene.
Or before,
through the robot's head. And it is kind of awesome. But then the sword is nowhere to be found. The rest of the action sequences are muddled, just like we've come to expect from Bay.
Yeah.
Not very exciting. And none, literally, none of the movie makes any damn sense. people are running hither and thither, and no one knows why. They've got this cube that they have to keep away from Megatron. And Prime, the leader of the Autobots, big idea is, if worse comes to worse, put it in my chest and that'll destroy it. And they're like, but that'll also destroy you, Prime. And he's like, I'm willing to make the sacrifice. And sacrifice is a key theme in the movie. They mention it 1,000 times. Well, guess what? At the end of the film, Shia LaBeouf takes the cube and puts it in Megatron's chest.
Guess what happens?
He gets destroyed. Cube gets destroyed.
Ta-da!
Now, at some point in the 15-minute boring hand-to-hand combat between Optimus Prime and Megatron, do you think Prime could have said, hey, kid, give me the cube. I'm going to shove it in Megatron's chest, and that'll be great. I wash my hands of Transformers.
Oh, boy. Well.
Tell me, please, lay it on me, because I can already see the rating over there. I'm going to start turning green like the Incredible Hulk in a minute. Let's hear it. Lay it on me.
I have to tell you, BJ, you are just about 50% wrong in your assessment of Transformers.
Oh.
I did not enjoy all of this movie, but Shia LaBeouf, I thought, was amazing. I thought he was unlike any Michael Bay protagonist that I've ever seen before. In that, I liked him, and I think it may just be that I like Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
And I love saying his name, LaBeouf.
I know.
LaBeouf.
It's a good name.
It's a great name.
I think
name.
I say it different every time I say it.
You can't help but do that. but it is like he sneaked things in. I think he took a few notes from Turturro. I think they must have gotten together before the movie started and said, listen, motherfucking Bay can't read. You know that. I know that. The American people know that. Even Voight knows that.
And Voight doesn't know dick.
The infamous John Voight, who is terrible, as John Voight will be.
As, of course.
As is his way.
No surprise.
But so Turturro and Shia LaBeouf were like, listen, we can do whatever we want. We're going to have to say some cheesy lines, probably. And Shia LaBeouf, at one point, turns to the hot-as-fire Megan Fox.
Ooh.
who is 28, if ever
baby.
She was a day over 18, and says, "Don't you want to look back in 50 years and know that you had the courage to get in the car?"
Yes.
And
yes,
she should
I
have
do.
Turned to him and said,
What are you talking about? Right? Who talks like that?
You idiot. Of course I'm going to get in the car. I never said I wasn't going to get in the car.
I don't want to walk home.
Yeah. So he's got those, but he also has, he slips in so many great little, I have to say, nuanced touches. I really like his scene when the Autobots are outside of his house and they're trying, they need something from him, the pair of glasses. And the scene worked for me.
Are you
and
kidding?
He's trying to hide the girl, hide the Autobots, find this pair of glasses, and his parents are invading him. And his mother, I think, asks him if he was masturbating.
Yes.
And actually says that.
Yes.
Which in a Bay movie, a PG-13 Bay movie, I thought was quite amusing. And so there's some, I thought all of that was pretty humorous. And then at that point, just when it could be too over the top, ladies and gentlemen, John Turturro.
Oh.
And John Turturro comes in, says, yeah. "I'm with the whatever organization."
Nobody cares.
Shia LaBeouf's father says, "I've never heard of that, and you never will."
And you know. Oh. John Turturro.
And immediately he breathes new life into this movie.
He does. I agree with that completely. He absolutely
and
does.
And I'm watching him, and he is the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think Michael Bay didn't know what to do with him. I didn't even think he was cast in this movie.
No, I think not. I think he just showed up.
He just showed up to the set and said, "Watch this, boys." And he just goes off. And this is one of he's been in tons of movies.
Sure.
This is one of my favorite Turturro performances.
It is and it isn't. Like, I mean, I think it looks better than it is because of the crap it's surrounded by. It's like watching a jazz musician. I mean.
Yeah, it's like if you can isolate his sound,
right.
If you will. Out of all of the ruckus around him, you've got something pretty amazing.
Sure.
And pretty genuinely, I can't call it anything but brilliant.
And, well, you said it right. He just...
And so we get all of that, and then like you said, you know, there's some terrible action at the end, but there's also some I thought, kind of interesting action. I mean, the jets, you know, like when the Decepticons are like, they jump up in the air as robots, transform into a jet and fly away, and I mean there is some BAMO, but there's also I thought there was some pretty cool action that I never see in a Bay movie, aside from the bland action. I mean the Marines are still there and they're shooting pointlessly at something, as they would never do. They would just get grenades or something better and shoot those,
right?
But they're sticking to machine guns because Bay has a hard on for them. And But then Shia LaBeouf is involved in the climax, so I think all of that works until the very end climax, which is Optimus Prime and Megatron.
Yeah.
Which is completely disappointing, because Megatron beats the crap out of Optimus Prime.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Optimus Prime, he may like get a couple hits in, but it's very anticlimactic.
No, it is.
And I was hoping at least for one interesting scene, like between the two of them, where they talked a while before.
Yeah.
You know, just something like that.
I mean, I knew going in that this was going to be a human-centered movie, but
yeah.
I still never lost my hope that the robots would at some point become interesting in their own right.
Right. Megatron has one line of dialogue, which is repeated 79.3 times in this movie.
He couldn't get enough Bay shots, and so he's like, I need another signature.
He's like, what do I say? I didn't read the script. It's like, well, who are you talking to? Optimus Prime. Well, just say that.
Just say it.
And so he delivers no variation. It's always the same. He goes, Prime.
Yeah. And this is
Prime.
This is Hugo Weaving.
Yeah. Why did they hire him?
Why? To say Prime 20 times.
To say Prime in a voice you can't even distinguish is Hugo Weaving.
Yeah, I mean, what a totally underutilized talent.
I would give...
Let's hear it. Let's hear it so I can cry myself to sleep for it.
You can take this and ruminate at your heart's leisure.
I will.
I give it 3 stars.
Out of 10?
No, 3 stars out of 4.
Out of 4?
Out of 4. I might be persuaded to go 2.5. In fact, I'd probably be pretty easily persuaded.
Well, I'll be looking forward to seeing how it fares on a second viewing for you. And for me as well.
Yeah.
Because right now the movie sits pretty squarely at a very low 1.5 for me.
I can't give, I mean, it gets 2 stars for John Turturro, 1/2 star for Shia LaBeouf, and another 1/2 star for the action.
What about the hot chick?
Oh, maybe it's a 3.5 star.
Oh, jeez. She is hot.
She's way hot.
The criminals are hot. what about the Bay-O-Meter?
The Bay-O-Meter, I only give this 5. Even though there were some kind of like Bay-isms,
mm-hmm.
The fact that these two characters existed in a Michael Bay world,
yeah,
where they shouldn't, it's like a circus in Nazi Germany during Hitler's time. It's like a circus of Jews.
Jeez.
It's like, how does this exist when all around it is oppression?
Well, this is true.
How can such joy brim from beneath?
This is true. Okay.
Like a fountain of wonderment.
I agree with your Bay-O-Meter rating. with the...
Well, how do you feel about my metaphor?
The metaphor, I give that a 10. I give that a Bay on the 1 to Bay scale.
Yeah.
That metaphor was very Bay. Because he's into metaphors, you can tell.
That's true. He loves them.
He can't spell them, but he loves them. We got to take a break.
We're going to take a quick break, and BJ is going to pummel the Turturro out of me.
No, never.
And we're going to come back.
Bad boys till we die. We ride together, we die together. Woot.
We'll be back soon, hopefully, with our Armageddons. Welcome back to Experts and Intermediates with BJ Gailey. I'm Jason Eakin. We move on now to the Armageddons.
Yes.
The awards for Michael Bay actors and stereotypes and all things Bay.
It's just a celebration of his body of work,
really. A celebration of what I like to call the Bay canon. And so we've called these the Armageddons, not only because of Michael Bay's movie Armageddon, which I kind of like, but also because each of these things... each Bay movie brings us one giant leap closer to Armageddon.
That's actually correct.
That is actually correct. It's a scientifically documented fact.
Yes, scientists everywhere
have
agreed.
Yeah, for every $100 million his movies make,
yes.
We are like 1,000 years closer to the yes. apocalypse.
If we get to Bad Boys 3, cool. Then the Horseman will be released.
Okay, we start with an award that I'm giving out, and it's called Babes in Toyland.
Oh.
And this award is for the hottest chick in a Bay movie. It has to go to Megan Fox. I kind of like Liv Tyler in Armageddon, but
well, it kills me. It kills me not to award this to ScarJo, but you're right.
Oh.
Megan Fox is on fire, and if you've ever been curious to find out what it looks like for a camera to have sex with a human being, go see Transformers, because there's... Their romantic interlude is indeed something to see. My award is the chin award, and this goes to the hardest actor in the Bay films that we've seen, and it's aptly named because I think when you want hard acting, you go to Mr. Hard Acting Ben Affleck. And you know he's done some fine work in a number of Bay films, Armageddon and
Armageddon,
of course yeah. Pearl Harbor.
Right.
And he with a steely look in his eye
That's
and
right.
a ginormous chin, there's no end to the wonders you can achieve.
When it comes to hard acting,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Affleck seems indefatigable.
Oh yeah. He can't be stopped. He's like the Terminator.
He comes to work prepared.
Well, sure.
He comes to work. He says, Mr. Bay, I got up. I had a strong breakfast
yeah.
of iron and rock. And the chin has been fed.
The chin's here to work, baby.
It's ready to go.
Ready to go. Just put the camera on it. It'll do the rest.
Affleck comes in. Chin says, shut the fuck up, Affleck.
That's right.
Put the camera
on. Because the chin arrives 10 minutes before Ben Affleck actually wakes up.
It's actually more prompt than Ben Affleck.
And it gets paid more.
Nice. It does. And deservedly so.
Deservedly so.
Okay. The next award we're giving out is what we call the Bay Smash.
Bay Smash,
which is the only sentence, which is not even a sentence, the only phrase that Mr. Bay has been known to utter. And he comes to every set equipped. He usually doesn't even speak anymore. He just has people. He knows what the sign says. Oh, sure. Those are the only words he can read. His own name and the word smash.
Smash.
And this goes to Bad Boys 2 for the factor and the carnage that it reaps on just about everybody in its wake. This is a hurricane of a mess.
Yes.
And, I mean, just countless innocent victims.
Oh, another Bay standard another we haven't Bay even standard. Mentioned.
No,
Bay hates innocence.
No regard. He hates women. He hates all minorities, even if they're the star of his movie.
Yeah.
And he loathes with fire reserved usually for Satan himself.
Mm.
The innocent.
Yes. And nowhere is this demonstrated better. You're right. Bad Boys 2.
He punishes them time and time again.
Yeah. True enough.
Yeah.
We have a two-part award. The first part is entitled To Bay. And this goes to the actor who generally does the most to help Michael Bay achieve his sinister ends. And you got to give it to the workhorse, John Voight.
That's right.
Who came prepared to stuff Michael Bay's pockets full of money. And he had extra room in his pockets because he left all his acting ability at home.
Exactly. He transferred it to his daughter, Angelina Jolie, and she, in turn, just pissed it away.
Sure.
Except in, I guess, like one or two performances. I hear she's good in A Mighty Heart. But yeah, it's Bay has a knack for hiring people who hate acting.
Oh, yeah. No, he wants guys who toe the line. And John Voight, that's what he's famous for. John Voight toes the line.
He does. And never one to discriminate. John Voight has reserved his lack of acting for numerous Jerry Bruckheimer productions.
Oh, sure.
So that's part one. Part two, we have To Bay or Not To Bay.
Mm.
And that award can go to none other than John Turturro.
Yes.
For sneaking in unannounced. Not even cast. He walked over from the latest Coen Brothers movie.
That's right.
And said, I got time to kill.
Sure.
My character just got killed.
I got
there.
A lunch hour.
I got a lunch
where's
hour.
Where's Bay?
Yeah, where's Bay? Hey, I'm Shia LaBeouf. Oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, hey, are you ready to shoot? Am I ready to shoot? Put the camera
That's
on
That's right.
Me.
I'm John Turturro. I'm always ready. Nobody fucks with the Jesus.
And a stirring performance he did give. One of my favorites. I love John Turturro. And I hope he shows up in more Bay movies to undercut them.
Oh, man, I hope. And our final award is the Bay by Bay Award, in which we give props to the person who shows Michael Bay doing what he does best, a slow-mo shot from the ground up. It's kind of moving around while you look hard. And that goes to none other than Mr. Give Us Us Free with 17 Bay shots.
Diamond Huntsman.
In the island.
Oh,
must have been in his contract.
Must have been. How could it not be? Affleck thought he had he thought he had it down. He called us. He said, listen, I think you must have miscalculated.
Right.
I mean, I had 15 in Pearl Harbor, and I said, all due respect, Mr. Chin.
Right.
Your
chin had eight. Your
you
chin
had
seven.
Eight, you had seven. Jaimin Hunsu and his bald head
all,
had 17.
All him.
In under an hour
all
and a half.
All him. Give us Bay.
Give us Bay. I think it goes without saying, but at the close of this, we must ask the question we set out to find the answer to.
Right.
Were we infected
by
Michael Bay?
You want to start, or you shouldn't want me to?
Go for it.
You know, I didn't think there was any possible way I was going to be infected by Michael Bay. I hated Michael Bay before this, and I really hate him now. However... For the simple fact that I will say with no embarrassment and I think complete accuracy that Pearl Harbor is Michael Bay's finest film.
Aside from Transformers.
No, I'm including Transformers.
I know you are.
I think for that simple fact, I have been infected. If I can say with a straight face, oh, Pearl Harbor, I'd watch that again before I watched any other Michael Bay film.
Oh, see, yeah, I'd watch Transformers again.
I know.
But other than that, especially of the four we watched,
oh.
Even though it's the longest.
Right.
It's the longest, and yet
I... And the stupidest.
Yeah.
And yet.
And yet. I say put both discs in at once and serve me up a nice parfait of freedom and Dewey raids.
And chinnery.
Chinnery. Chin chinnery.
I'm telling you, that's so sad.
It is
so terrible.
It is sad, but there it is.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is going to wrap up this edition of Experts and Intermediates. Finally, I've been Jason Eakin.
I'm BJ Gailey.
Thanks for listening. Tom Waits sing about Michael Bay.
Let's find out.
Michael Bay has come to town. He is dressed up like a clown. Cannot read and cannot write. Michael.
Wow.
Michael Bay will show you fight.
He will show us fight. He'll show us free.